Well, Easter this year is going to be different for us all. I know we were all looking forward to gathering as we normally do with a sunrise service and breakfast and all of those things. But with all of the circumstances, things just did not work out that we do that this year. But the Lord knew all about it, and it's okay. Main thing is we'd like everyone healthy and well and looking forward to when we're able to gather again. But this Sunday, we're doing something new. Instead of just the recording, we are going to have the recording on. But as you can tell, we've got something special. We're doing a video of the message. So we're hoping this will all work out well. But I'm reading Scripture today. If you want to follow along with us, reading Scripture in the book of Mark, chapter number 16. So in Mark chapter number 16, I'll let you find your place just a moment, and we'll read the Scripture. Out of all of the Easter passages, this was the one that the Lord placed on my heart for the service today. In Mark chapter number 16, we'll begin in verse number 1. And it says, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." That is reading the first 8 verses. And I'll point out a few things in a couple other verses, but those are the ones that the Lord has put on my heart that I'll read. And we'll, like I said, we'll look at a few other things. What a difference, a day has made or will make for these ladies at the garden tomb. It's amazing how quickly darkness can give way to light and how sadness can give way to joy. As the ladies made their way through the darkened streets of Jerusalem, little did they know what was going to take place when they arrived at the tomb. It's hard for us to imagine what they must have gone through over the last few days and what it must have all been like for them. They had watched as Jesus was arrested and tried, condemned, crucified, and buried. In a day's time, their whole world had changed. We've all experienced things like that in our own lives, have we not? It may have been when a husband or wife died. It may have been when a father or mother died. It could have been when a brother or sister, a grandparent. It may have been for some of you, even when a child died. It may have been when some car wreck happened. It may have been when some sickness took place. Something happened in your life that suddenly changed your life. And in a day's time, everything seemed to change. As for them, and so for us, sometimes it seems like that hours or days or weeks of darkness can envelop our life, and hope seems shattered, and misunderstanding abounds, and faith can be shaken to the very core. But what a difference a day makes. Everything changed for them that morning. Everything changed for them, and everything changed for the world. Everything, could I say, changed for you and for me on that morning. What took place on that morning makes all the difference in life and in death. Oh, it may have started out dark and dismal, but what a great day in the morning it ended up being for them on that day. And could I just use that thought today for just a little while? On a great day in the morning, I want to just point out a few things today on this Easter Sunday for you and I. First of all, it was for them a great day of removal. Or could I put it like this? It was a day of great removal. A day of great removal. If you'll notice in verses 1 through 4, it talks about how that the Sabbath was passed. And on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, you know, I still not sure exactly the best way to pronounce her name. But they brought sweet spices and they came to anoint the body of Jesus. They had watched where they buried him, according to the latter part of chapter number 15. They watched where they buried him, and now they returned to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason they come was because of their love for the Lord. In the message that I preached and put on our website online on Wednesday night, I talked about the love that they had for him. And they came because they loved him. And they were at the cross because they loved him. And now they come to the garden tomb because they love him. They arose early in the morning that day and come because they love him. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 14, he says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." That word constraineth, it means to compel or to motivate. In other words, as we consider his love for us, that is what motivates our love for him. And that is what motivated them that day. That's what motivated them to get up early in the morning, that first day of the week, and to come to the garden tomb to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. It was that love that they have for him. And as we consider the love that he had for us, that's what ought to motivate us to serve him, to live for him, to honor him in our lives. You see, it was an expression of their love for him that motivated them to come to that grave for two reasons, for who he was and for what he had done. That ought to be the same motivation for us, for who he is and what he's done, that he is our Lord and our Savior, and that he died on the cross, and that he has saved us from our sins. But as they made their way to the garden tomb that morning, there was one thing that really concerned them. There was one thing that weighed on their mind, and it was that great stone. You see, at the end of chapter 15, it talks about how that Joseph of Arimathea had asked for the body of Jesus, and he had placed the body of Jesus in the tomb. And it says that in verse 46, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And verse 47 said, and Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. They saw where they placed the body. They saw the great stone placed there. They tell us that these stones placed at the tombs like that were anywhere around 5 to 6 feet in diameter, and they could weigh hundreds of pounds. So the one concern they had as they made their way to the tomb that morning, they were thinking about that tomb, and they were saying, who's going to roll away the stone? It mentions that in verse 3 and 4. They said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. But as they made their way, they were concerned about the stone, and they knew that it was a great stone, very heavy. It was beyond their ability. It was beyond their capacity. It was beyond their ingenuity of figuring out a way to move that stone. But you know what was so wonderful? They didn't turn back. They didn't look at it and say, well, you know, we can't make it. We can't move the stone, so what's the use? We can't handle this. It's too big for us. It's greater than us. And so we might as well go home. But no, they kept going. They kept pressing on. They kept going on. I don't know, maybe they were thinking possibly the gardener would be there and he would help. Maybe somebody else will pass by and they'll help us. But anyway, they kept pressing on and they kept going on. I said those things to say this today. I wonder, have you got any great stones in your way today? I say that and I ask that because we all do. We all have stones of disappointment. We all have stones of despair and discouragement. We all have stones that we just don't have the ability and the capacity to remove. There are stones that are unexpected for us. Stones that are undeserved. And stones that were unplanned in each of our lives. Big stones. And we would call them great stones for you and I. Things that we can't remove in our own ability and our own power. But I'm glad there's one that can remove great stones. I'm glad there's one who has the power, who has the ability to remove great stones. He says in Matthew 28 and 2, in the same story about the resurrection, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. You see, they were worried about the stone, but God had help on the way to remove the stone. I'm glad he always does in our life. We worry about great stones, but we forget the power of our great God. I'm so thankful he's able to remove great stones. I dare to say this morning. I dare to say this today. But there are some people that just because we aren't able to gather on an Easter Sunday, that may be a great stone for you today. That it may have gotten you all discouraged and out of heart. But let me say, don't let that become a great stone to you today. God knew all about this. It never caught him by surprise. Do you realize Easter can still be celebrated, even though we're at home. Celebrate it with your family and rejoice in the fact of the resurrection. You know, I thought about Easter, and it breaks my heart greatly that we're not able to come together and be together in the house of the Lord. It breaks my heart. We're not able to be here for the sunrise. It breaks my heart tremendously. But you know what? Easter is still the celebration of His resurrection. But you know what? As I thought about it, I see the resurrection all around me. I see it in the blooming of the flowers. I see the resurrection in the budding of the trees. I see the resurrection in the plants that are producing. I see the resurrection as the sun goes down in the evening, comes up the next morning. I see the resurrection and realize that He still lives. Thank God our Savior lives. There is power in a resurrected Savior today to still remove great stones in our life. Whatever great stone you have today, I'm glad that we can say it's a great day in the morning because of the resurrection, and He still removes great stones in our lives. So it was a day of great removal. But it was, secondly, a day of great reassurance. A day of great reassurance. Look, if you will, in verse 5 and 6. It says, "And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And He saith unto them, Be not affrighted. You see, Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him." So it was a day of great reassurance. Now, there's no way under the sun that I would challenge these women by their being frightened when they saw this young man sitting on the right side in the long white garment. No way would I challenge them. I ask you today, what would you have done? I don't know. May have run away myself. I don't know. I don't know how I'd have handled it. They were astonished. They were terribly frightened. No doubt they were stunned, trying to take it all in. They struggled to connect the dots, trying to figure it all out, put the pieces together. They got there. Think about it a moment. They got there. The stone was removed. That was amazing in itself. And then the one that they knew that was no ordinary man was sitting there in a long white garment, and he was telling them that the one they come to anoint, he was risen, and the body was gone. So they're trying to take all that in. They're trying to understand all of that. But they received a word of great reassurance. And the word that they got was this, that He is not here, He is risen. The same one that He said, that Jesus of Nazareth, that you're seeking for, that was crucified, He's risen, He's not here. He's not here. Oh, listen, they got a word when they were struggling, when they needed some reassurance. I'm so glad that God has a word for us. When we're struggling, when we're trying to put the pieces together, when life seems all messed up, when life for us is like a jigsaw puzzle and all the pieces just don't want to seem to fit, when everything's all out of sorts, when everything just don't make sense, whenever we don't understand why, whenever we look at circumstances and we don't understand, I'm so thankful that there is a word from God that comforts our heart and reassures our heart. For one thing, It was a word that reassured them of a purpose. Reassured them of a purpose. You see, they had thought in their minds that he was going to establish a kingdom. They had thought in their minds that this was the one they trusted to be the Messiah, that somehow that he would be the one that was the answer to all of their hopes. And now their hopes had seemed dashed. They had watched him crucified. Do you remember in the book of Luke, chapter 24, with the two that were on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus hid himself from recognition and walked along with them. They made the statement in verse 21 and said, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." They thought that he was the one, but now their hopes were dashed. But now the angel is saying, "He's not here. He's risen. He's risen." Oh, thank God, that was words of reassurance of a purpose. But notice what else he said. He said, "Behold the place where they laid him. Behold the place where they laid him." Just look and see. Realize that he's not here. That he's not here. You see, it sounds like there's more to this than what you realize. That there's a purpose that you don't understand. You know what? There are things that I don't understand. I'll be the first to admit that as I look at what we're dealing with coronavirus right now, I don't understand all of this. There's a lot about it that I don't grasp. I don't understand. It would be easy to say, "Lord, why? Why about all of this?" I look at sicknesses. I look at things that happen in people's lives, in our church family. I look at people battling cancers. I look at people that are right now dealing with death in their families, that are touching the lives of people in our church. It's easy to wonder why and say, "God, we don't understand." But I want to tell you, there's a purpose in what he does. Even though we may not understand, and even though we may not realize it, right now there is a purpose. And he may see fit to reveal it to us here, and he may not. But there's coming a day that we'll understand it all. But they did not understand at that point. They didn't understand right then. But the angel is saying, "Listen, there's more to this than you understand. There's more to this. He's risen." You see, his coming wasn't to conquer, but to be crucified. He didn't come to sit on a throne, but to be nailed to a cross. He didn't come to defeat Rome, but he came to die for our sins. He will reign one day, but his purpose was to be our Redeemer. You see, the resurrection assures us of the price of our redemption. It assures us that the Father was satisfied with his atonement. Somebody said this, and I believe it. Somebody said that the resurrection was the amen of the Father to the "it is finished" of the Son on the cross. And I believe that. You see, had he not risen, there would be no forgiveness of sin. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "If he had not risen, then our faith is vain. Our preaching is vain. And all we look for in life is empty. But thank God he is risen. And I'm glad that he is." So it reassured them of a purpose. Thank God, I'm glad. I'm glad that there is a purpose. But then it also reassured them of his power. No less than 18 times in the four Gospels, he said that he would rise again the third day. In John 10 and 18, Jesus said, "No man taketh it from me," talking about his life. "But he said, I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." Oh, the empty tomb stands as a bold testimony of his power that he did what he said he would do. 2 Corinthians 4:14 said, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. You know what that tells me? That tells me that if Jesus can handle death, he can handle anything in our lives. The resurrection, it is a great day of reassurance. It reassures us of his power, reassures us of his purpose, which was redemption. Thank God, it was a day of great removal, a day of great reassurance. But thirdly, it was a day of great renewal, a day of great renewal. Look at verse number 7. He says, but go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he said unto you. Notice what the angel said. Go before him. He said, go and tell his disciples and Peter. The Lord's thoughts were toward his disciples. He wanted the angel to tell him, go tell his disciples and Peter. I can't imagine what those disciples must have gone through for those 3 long days, hiding for the fear of the Jews. And no doubt they were kicking themselves, thinking maybe we should have done this. What if we had done that? And no doubt Peter, worst of all, thinking about denying the Lord and remembering how that Jesus had looked upon him that last time whenever he had denied and cursed and swore, saying that he didn't know him. And no doubt Peter still remembering that look on Jesus' face. But now the Lord, through the angel, sends word to the disciples and Peter and says, tell them that I'm risen. Matthew and Luke and John, they don't record it just exactly like this. But Mark does. Mark says that the angel says, tell his disciples and Peter. Bible scholars tell us that Mark got his information that he tells us about the life of Jesus, that Mark got his information from Simon Peter. Peter never forgot that event. Peter never forgot this event of how the angel said, tell the disciples and Peter. Because that was a turning point in Peter's life. It brought hope. It brought renewal to Peter's heart. Because it was the Lord saying to Peter, Peter, I still love you. I know you denied me. I know that you said you didn't know me. But Peter, I still love you. And Peter, I've forgiven you. Don't you know that reassured Peter's heart? Don't you know that was encouragement to Peter's life? Don't you know those were words of great renewal to Peter's heart that resurrection morning? Whenever they came and the ladies came, and with excitement, they made their way to where the disciples were. They left and they were so afraid. They didn't speak to nobody on the way. It's what the scriptures say. Found the disciples where they were. And they began to tell them. And the disciples, first of all, they didn't believe them. But they said, listen, this is what the angel said. The angel said, go tell the disciples that he's risen. But then they said, tell the disciples and Peter. Don't you know those were the sweetest words Peter could have ever heard that day? I want to tell you, the resurrection assures you and I of his love toward us. I don't know, but every one of us have failed him. Even Even since we've been saved, we have failed Him so many times. But I thank God the resurrection assures us of His love, that even though we may falter and stumble and fall along the way, the resurrection assures us that the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 2 and 1, John said, "My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Thank God I've got an advocate with the Father. Hey, who is He? Jesus Christ the righteous. Because He lives, because He rose again the third day, because He's alive forevermore, He's my advocate with the Father, pleading my case at the Father's right hand. So it is, last of all, it is a day of great reunion. I find in the latter part of verse 7, the angel also said, "And there shall you see Him as He said unto you." That little phrase, "there shall you see Him," speaks of a time of reunion. There was a time they were going to get together again. A time when Jesus was going to gather with the disciples and they were going to see Him. And He was going to see them. I'm glad there was a time that He appeared unto them. It isn't recorded every instance here, but there are several. If you'll notice in verse 9, it says in the middle of the verse, "He appeared first to Mary Magdalene." In verse 12, "After that He appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country." In verse 14, "Afterward appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat." But it says there, "He appeared, He appeared, He appeared." Several times, over and over and over, the Scriptures tell us He appeared, He appeared, He appeared again and again. He was verifying that He was alive. He was manifesting Himself, showing Himself alive. I want to tell you, the resurrection assures you and I of a reunion day. There's going to come a day when we'll see Him and we'll see all of our loved ones that have gone before us. In 1 John 3 and 2, He said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear," there's that word again, "when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for when we shall see Him as He is." What a day. What a day. What a great day in the morning when we one day shall see Him as He is. And we'll see all of our loved ones gone before. As we see on an Easter day, I know that we often on Easter gather and we think about the time that all the graves will be opened, the saints will rise out of the grave, and the dead in Christ shall raise. We'll be caught up together. What a resurrection time that'll be. And I know this Easter's going to be different. Doesn't change the fact there's going to come a resurrection morning. Thank God the dead will rise, saints will be changed, and we'll be caught up together. What a great day in the morning it's going to be. I thank God for that day. There's an old hymn. There's an old hymn. Read the story about it. I want to share it with you and I'm done. Story goes that while preaching on the radio about the subject of the second coming of Christ, the preacher, C.A. Blackmore, was outlining some of the great and marvelous things that would happen to Christians at the rapture. And a lady that had been bedridden for some 23 years, heard the message, and she wrote him a letter, and she asked him some questions. She said, "Will I really be well? Will all pain and sorrow actually be gone at the rapture?" Brother Blackmore replied, and he said, "Yes, my friend, some glorious day when Jesus comes, you'll leap from that bed with all the vigor of youth and never know pain again." As his son, Carl, pondered all about the prospects of the reality of the rapture and the words of all that his father had spoken, a chorus began to stir in his heart and some words in his mind. And he said to his father, he said, "Dad, you need to write some verses to that chorus." And after a lot of prayer and thinking on it early one morning, when he couldn't sleep, Preacher Blackmore sat down, and thinking about the rapture, he began to write the words to the old hymn, to the old song. Here are some of the words, and I know you'll know it. Some of the words say this: "Oh, what a meeting there in the skies. No tears nor crying shall dim our eyes. Loved ones united eternally. Oh, what a daybreak that morn will be. Some golden daybreak Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you." What a day. What a day that's going to be. Thank God one golden daybreak Jesus is going to come. Who knows, this may be the very last Easter. Who knows, he may come before the sun sets on the day. I'm a-looking for him to come. He may come today. What a day. What a great day in the morning it'll be when Jesus comes again. We have that assurance because he rose again the third day. I hope you have a great Easter. I know it's different. I know it's going to be a different Easter than it's ever been for you. But I hope God will bless you, encourage your heart, and be with you through the day. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we have an assurance, something beyond this life, because you came and you lived and you died and you rose again the third day. Thank you that you ascended back to heaven, that you sit at the right hand of the Father. One glorious daybreak, Jesus is going to come again. What a day that's going to be. Father, I feel as John in the book of Revelation. Father, it'd be just good to come quickly, Lord Jesus. Take us out of this old sin-cursed world. Father, we'll be home with you. There's so much sickness. There's so much sorrow, so much sadness, so much heartbreak. Father, what a day it would be for Jesus just to come. I pray for our church family today. I pray for those that are hurting, for those that are sick. I pray for those that are dealing with sorrows and sadness. I pray for those that are dealing with difficult days and hard times. Father, would you lift them and encourage them? Father, during these days of the coronavirus, I pray, Father, you'd hedge our church in and guard your children. Father, I long for the day when we gather again in your house. May it be soon, Father, so soon, and we'll give you the glory for it. Keep us safe in your care right now. In Jesus' name, we humbly pray. Amen. Amen.